Well, Michael, we've seen the news the last couple of weeks. There's been some rather high-profile missteps among some of the directors of some of the state agencies. Artie Williams over at the Department of Workforce Services. Looks like there's maybe $161 million possibly in improper payments that were made. Of course, Director Ernie Passaway over at the state lottery has had all sorts of missteps that we've seen the last few months. What responsibility do you feel like Democrats, the party in control, has to take for a lot of those missteps? Any, or how much do they take?
Well, I don't think it's really a partisan issue. You know, first of all, R.T. Williams, the head of the Department of Workforce Services, was first appointed by Governor Mike Huckabee in 2004. So, you know, if anybody, if it comes down to a partisan blame game, we should be blaming Republicans. But I don't think it's a blame game. You know, there was a first report that the unemployment division may have given out $161,000 in benefits, $161 million in overpayments. And now it appears that maybe it's $11 million is what the latest I've heard. Now, that's still an $11 million problem, don't get me wrong. I'm not downplaying it. A mistake is a mistake. But apparently it's a big difference between $11 million and $161 million. That is a misstep. But let's see what comes out. And unfortunately, it looks like Arkansas, along with other states, has had problems with overpayment of unemployment benefits, so we're not alone in this mishap. But I'm still keeping my mind open in terms of what comes out. In terms of Ernie Passaleg, he was hired by a board, independent board from the Democratic Party structure. Governor Beebe did not appoint him; had no say who was hired. And while he had a lot of missteps, he also had a lot of successes. That's unfortunately one thing that will not be remembered for quite a while, is that when the lottery was first proposed, 3 years ago, 4 years ago, whatever it was, Republicans were saying, oh, this thing is not going to raise more than $55 million. And Democrats or people supporting it said, no, it's going to raise $100 million. Turns out it has. So the success of the lottery is that it's funded about 60,000 scholarships for kids who go to college who may not have had that opportunity now. So it has been a successful program, but they've had some problems in terms of this growing agency that had to start quickly, and they've had some missteps. I think Ernie Passaleg was probably the right person to get it started, but probably not the right person to keep it going. And so hopefully the commission will find somebody who's qualified, who has some lottery experience, to keep the lottery generating scholarships for Arkansas kids.
You know, I think the thing I hear from a lot of people on this is there adequate oversight in place for these things? I don't know that necessarily people blame whoever appointed these guys, or whether it's Mike Beebe or Mike Huckabee's fault for appointing these people. Mm-hmm. But are there the right controls in place? Is there the oversight in place? Is there the audit function in place to catch these things? And I don't know that the legislature has to take a step back and look, do we have enough review and oversight procedures to look at some of these things that are going on? I mean, $161 million, that's a lot of money. That's very material for our overall budget, especially as tight as our budget is right now. Mm-hmm. They've identified $11 million, but that's just what they've identified. I don't know that they're necessarily comfortable with the other $990 million that's out there. Mm-hmm. Are all of those payments correct? I don't know. But I think there definitely needs to be more oversight in place of those type of things.
You know, I was watching the Republican presidential debates. They had three recently. And in each debate, there was reactions from the crowd that sort of shocked me. You know, in the first debate, there was a question asked of Ron Paul, is that, frankly, if we should let somebody who's a 30-year-old person with no insurance, should we let him die? And the audience reaction was a couple of people like, yes, let him die, or words to that effect. But basically, you got the impression of people in the audience were like, whatever, too bad he's going to die. You know, the second debate, Governor Rick Perry talked about he's executed almost 300 people during his time as governor. People cheered, which to me, just sort of striking in that no matter what you think about the death penalty, somebody who's committed a crime obviously needs to be held accountable, but do you cheer anybody's death was still kind of disconcerting to me. In the last debate, which happened last night, there was a soldier who recorded something, who was actually in Iraq, who asked a question of the presidential candidates, and he got booed by the audience. And the reason he was booed because this soldier who's over in Iraq fighting for our country just happens to be gay, but was booed by a Republican audience. And the presidential candidates, nobody said anything. Like, look, this guy's fighting for us. Let's not boo the gentleman. But what I'm driving at is, what has happened to compassionate conservatism among the Republican Party. It just seems like they've lost their heart and become followers of Ayn Rand and, you know, who cares about, you know, middle class working people, every man for himself. What's happened to the George W. Bush's compassionate conservatives?
Well, I think, first of all, starting out in the debate last night, it seems like the reports I've heard of that was maybe three or four people that actually made those boos. It wasn't the vast majority of the crowd. It was a small minority of people that happened to be sitting in the crowd. I think sometimes those numbers, those things tend to get overstated. People focus on those things. You know, hey, I'm a blogger. When I go looking for stories, I try to find the most sensational part of the story. And so I think those reports have been sensationalized some in the media. I don't think they represent the vast majority of the Republican Party. But just to try to maybe say what those people were thinking, I disagree with that response, but trying to read into their thoughts, I think there's been people that have the mindset that they just want to kind of rebel against the politically correct thing, the thing everybody expects them to do. I think you saw that maybe especially on the death penalty, where they were maybe trying to show a little bit of rebellion to what the normal response would be. I don't think it was the proper response. I disagree with the response, but that would be my guess as to what that mindset was. Now, as far as compassionate conservatism goes, I think that's alive and well in the Republican Party. I think that's a term, though, that Republicans may be shying away from because that was used a lot during George Bush's administration. Sometimes it was used as a justification for growing the size of government, for advancing different social programs. And so that term itself, I think, has become a term that's not used as much anymore. But conservatism itself, in my opinion, is one of the most compassionate views we can have. Of course, the left and the right have different views of how we go about helping people, but in my opinion, the conservative philosophy is the old saying of it's better to teach a man to fish than to give him fish. And so it's better to go out and create jobs, create the environment where people can work and get back to working again and provide for their family. That's much more compassionate than it is just to simply give someone a government handout and give someone a government program. So in my opinion, compassionate conservatism is alive and well. I think, though, that there is a little bit too much attention put on some of those people that maybe happen to be the loudest and the most vocal in the audience instead of what really the philosophy is.
Well, of course, you know, three, four people in an audience is not, you know, a party make. However, not one of those presidential candidates up on that stage said, hey, guys, no, we shouldn't be clapping about, you know, executing people. No, guys, we shouldn't be booing an American soldier no matter what his beliefs are. He's out there in Iraq right now on the front lines. But none of those candidates had the guts to disagree with those people, those naysayers in the audience would be the first thing I would note. You know, second of all, those are just the recent examples that have been on my mind. But other things like, you know, Republican Eric Cantor in the Congress, you know, we've had these, you know, massive disasters in Joplin and these hurricane disasters. And basically his line as one of the leaders in the Republican Party over there is like, well, we can only give funding to help these damaged areas if we cut the budget somewhere else. Basically what he's saying is, look, I know our neighbor's house is on fire, but we need to figure out if we could afford to let them borrow our garden hose first before we can put out the fire. I mean, that's not very compassionate. Not very, you know, wanting to take care of folks in need, especially people who've been wrecked by a hurricane and things that nothing they had no control over. You know, it seems like the Republican Party on the national level has kind of turned the phrase, using instead of saying, or actually now saying, you know, to those who much has been given, nothing is required. And it seems like to be the strain now among the Republican Party on the national level that we don't care about the middle class. You know, we don't care if people don't have health insurance. It's on them. Every man for himself. Follow Ayn Rand's books, and you know exactly what I'm driving at. And that's worrisome. I mean, to George Bush's credit, you know, I obviously had disagreements with him, but he did have a sense of that we're all in this together, that we all rise or fall together. But it seems now the Republican Party has gone away from that, and now it's every man for himself, which is disconcerting as a country.
I think we're having a real debate about the role of government at this time. It's almost been a forced debate. I think, quite frankly, for the last 10 years, both the left and the right have sort of gotten their way as far as compromises have gone, in the sense that those on the left that have pushed for more programs, for more growing the size of government, have gotten their way. Government has grown quite a bit in the last decade. At the same time, Those on the right have gotten their way in the sense that we've cut taxes. And so we've done both of those things at the same time. Almost all the compromises you see is where the deficit has just really grown. We've kicked the can far enough down the road where we can't really do that anymore. And so we've really pushed the debate now to discuss what do we do? What role does government play in our lives? And I think you're seeing a very pointed ideological debate over whether to raise taxes. Barack Obama has opposed $1.5 trillion in tax increases during one of the worst economies we've had in years, which conservatives would tell you that would kill the economy if we were to raise those kind of taxes. And Republicans, on the other hand, are wanting to drastically cut the size of government. That's painful. That's hard to do. Cutting programs is not something that's enjoyable. It's not something that's easy. And so you're going to see some pains as we go through that. But it's been interesting to watch just a real ideological debate now take place. And I think they've come to the point where they no longer can do the kind of compromises they've been doing where everybody gets their way. Somebody's not going to get their way now. And so that debate has definitely heated up.